Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Thank you, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we magnify you. We give you all the glory and honor, for it all belongs to you. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also, my friends, a big shout out to our worship team that assembled for this evening's message. And we want to thank and praise God for Brother Andre Monati, Kedma Wentz, and Brother Angel Hernandez. We miss Brother Josh. He'll be back with us hopefully next week. But they were a blessing tonight. I hope they blessed you. They've been a blessing to Amazing Grace. Amen. So with that said, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. We're going to introduce this book to you so that you could basically have an understanding of where it was written, and we're going to look at the purpose, the author, we're going to look at the date written, the audience, the setting, the key verse, and the key people in this particular book. So I need your attention right up on the screen. Let's go there now. Here we go. And I've entitled this evening's message, The Book of Jude, Introduction. The Introduction. So if you're there in Jude, we're going to be covering only the first four verses. But now, let's look at the purpose. The purpose was to remind the church of the need for the constant vigilance. What? To keep strong in the faith and to oppose heresy. Who was the author? The author was Jude, brother of Jesus and James. Praise God. Praise God. Who was the audience? The audience was Jewish Christians and all believers everywhere. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the date written was approximately A.D. 65. A.D. 65. And the setting, let's look at the setting. The setting was from the first century on, the church has been threatened by heresy and false teachings, and we must always be on guard. Let me just pause there for a moment, saints of God. You see, throughout the Word of God, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, the prophets, Jesus, and the apostles reiterated several times regarding false teachers and false prophets. Why do they keep mentioning that throughout the Word of God? Because these false prophets would lead others astray. They would bring a word that was not correct, that was not authorized by God. It was never found in the Word of God. It came from their own understanding. It came from their own imagination. And it was never what Jesus or God had given them for the people. And so there were a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing during the time. And it's no different than today. Today we experience many false prophets, many false teachers, and we're reminded. We're reminded through the Apostle Paul in his letters, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Isaiah and Jeremiah and many of the Old Testament prophets. And we're also reminded, praise God, by Jude, the brother of Jesus. So let's get back to the screen right up here. Let's go here. The setting, as we just read. Now let's look at this. What was the key verse? I need you to catch this key verse. It's found in verse 3 in Jude. There are no chapters in this book. It's just one full chapter. And I'm reading this out of the Living Translation. It says, "Dearly loved friends, I have been planning to write you some thoughts about salvation God has given us. But now I find, look at this, I must write of something else instead. But now I find myself, look at this, urging you to stoutly defend the truth that God gave once and for all to his people to keep without charge through the years. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this. Who were the key people? The key people was Jude, James, and Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, to protect from harm, to guard from attack, to repulse enemies. For centuries, rugged defenders have built walls, launched missiles, and waged wars, expending material and human resources in the battle to save nations and cities. We understand it throughout history. And with total commitment and courageous abandon, saints of God, individuals have fought for their families. It is a rule of life that we fight for survival, defending with all of our strength what is most precious to us from every real or imagined attack. Well, my friends, God's word and the gift of eternal life have infinite value and have been entrusted to you and I, saints of God, to Christ's faithful followers. That's me, that's you. And there are many people who live in opposition to God and his followers. Oh yes, as I mentioned just moments ago, they twist God's truth, seeking to deceive and destroy the unwary. But God's truth must go forth. Can I get an amen in the house? It must go forth, carried and defended by those saints of God who have committed their lives to God's Son. It is an important task, an awesome responsibility, and a profound privilege, saints. Oh, that's right, to have this commission to preach the truth. You see, my friends, this was Jude's message to the Christians everywhere. Everywhere. Opposition would come and godless teachers would arise, but Christians should defend the truth of the good news, hallelujah, by rejecting all falsehood and immorality, remembering God's mighty acts of rescue, how he rescued us and how he pulled us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Many of us can testify to that, that at one time we were stooped in our sin. We were on mountains and mountains of dunghills, and Jesus came and rescued us. That's right. And so God's mighty acts of rescue and punishment and the warnings of the apostles, my friends, this is what we need to take heed. Why? Because Jude's readers are to build up their own faith, what? Through prayer. That's right. Keeping close to Christ, helping others, and hating and learning to hate sin. Then Jude concludes with a glorious benediction of praise to God. Amen, amen. So, my friends, I need to ask this question. How much do you value God's word and the fellowship of the church and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, my friends, there are many false teachers waiting to destroy your Christ-centered life. Oh, yes, they want to come against you. They want to lie. They want to slander you. They want to ridicule you. They want to blaspheme your name so that you would be etched out of the minds of others. Oh, yes, that's what the enemy does. And he'll use false prophets and false teachers and slanderers that would do that. That's right. Why? Because they want to destroy the credibility of God's word and the unity of the body of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And so we need to read Jude and determine to stand firm in your faith and my faith and defend God's truth. Can I get an amen in the house? At all costs. Praise God. You see, there's nothing more valuable than God's word. God's word is alive and well. It's the Bible calls the word of God that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce down into the bone and marrow. Oh, that's right. God's word is alive, and it should be alive unto you. Can I get an amen? It should be alive unto me. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to get this going. And so we're going to do our best to expound just four verses tonight in the book of Jude. And let's look what it reads here. Let's go here. In Jude 1 through 4, the word of God reads, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Verse 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I find it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once all delivered to the saints. Look at this in verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord and our only Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow, my friends. So let's break this down. Let's go now to verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Jude was a common Jewish name. Scholars had various opinions about Jude's identity. The overwhelming majority considered him to be a half-brother of Jesus. It's not very clear. But let's look in the Word of God so we can identify Jude a little closer. It's found right here. Look at this in Matthew 13:55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So there he is. He's mentioned here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And saints, let me just say this. In his introduction, Jude identified himself as the brother of James. And this James was not one of the apostles named James, but another of Jesus' half-brothers. Let's look at this once again in the Word of God. It says in Mark 6:3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Wow, look at this. In Galatians 1:19, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Wow. Wow, saints of God. You see, apparently Jude held some authority as revealed in this letter. He most likely traveled as a missionary and naturally would be wanted to write a letter, no differently than how Paul the apostle wrote, especially when he was apprehended in prisons. And it was a letter to his converts whose faith was being threatened by false teaching. Let me just say this. This letter by Jude, okay, is basically for the born-again believer. It's an exhortation that we would contend for the faith. It's an exhortation that there would be false teachers. It's an exhortation that we are to hold on to truth and never let it go, that we would not be a people of compromise, that we would not allow the culture of the day to infiltrate our life, our walk with Christ, our marriages, our family. Why? Because the culture changes with every wind and doctrine. The culture will come in and pervert the things of God. Oh, that's right. The culture we live in today has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to have our spiritual glasses on. We need to look to see what's taking place even in the days that we live in. Right now, they have removed the Lord Jesus Christ out of all the public systems of this society we live in. Our school system, from kindergarten all the way through high school, they've removed the name of Jesus. You cannot have Bibles and bring them in. The students have to initiate Bible study on their own. But you could bring in every other religion, and they don't have a problem with it. My goodness, my goodness. Saints, Jesus has been removed from the court system. That's right. The Ten Commandments are missing now out of the court system. I'm telling you, we are living in a day, like Jesus said, like the days of Lot and the days of Noah. It has become immoral, violent, and very wicked. Help us, God. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us. Help us. And so this letter, it was to his converts whose faith was being threatened by false teaching. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this next verse of scripture right here, found in 1 Corinthians 9:5. Do we have no right to take along a, look, believing wife? As do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. So the Lord had, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had brothers. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So saints, oddly enough, Jude did not refer to himself as a brother of Jesus Christ. It would seem that this would have carried even more authority. But like James, Jude simply identified himself as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning a servant as the Lord Jesus Christ. And as believers, they focused on their spiritual relationship with their Lord and considered themselves privileged to be called his servants. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just ask this question. Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you so blessed? I'd rather be a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ than the slave to the devil. The slave, those slaves to the devil, that was a taskmaster. He beats you, brutalizes you, perverts you, and then opens the door and kicks you out of the car right onto the curb. Oh, that's right. Once he's done using you up and your life is left in shambles. But Jesus comes along and finds us, many of us, in that type of condition and saves us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus came to save us? He came to seek those who were lost. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for those who needed a Savior. Praise God. Praise God. So saints, Jude did not specify any destination for his letter. Instead, he addressed it to all who are called to live in the love of God, the Father, and the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being called also is referred to being as elected, chosen, or predestinated. And that's you and I. For God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Before we were even conceived in our mother's womb, God already knew us. How many so blessed to know that at home? Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, God's Spirit calls people out of darkness right into his marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many so blessed to know that? And convinces them that their sinfulness shows them what Christ can do for them, and then helps them to accept Christ. You see, God's love prompted his call. His love will continue now and forevermore. Praise God. God's love never changes. Thank you, God. You see, saints of God, the believers across the ancient world, often facing persecution, could count on the fact that they were always would be enfolded by God's love. They knew that. They didn't have social media. They only had each other. And the believers there were comforted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, my friends, in addition, believers are kept in Jesus' care and will receive the certain rewards of Christ's promised blessings. How many are so blessed to know that God has a reward for you? All you have to do is hang on. Hallelujah. Don't succumb to the enemy. Bind and rebuke the enemy that comes to you. You see, even an angel of light that Paul mentioned in Galatians will come and deceive us. But yet behind that veil of a false being is the devil himself, the enemy. You see, saints, at Christ's second coming, believers will be ready to receive their full salvation and to live eternally with him. How many can't wait for that? I can't. So that was just verse 1. Let's move on now to verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, mercy carries with it the Old Testament picture of God's loving kindness or compassion. God's mercy helps believers day by day. Jude knew that believers were facing difficult situations in their life, in that world that they lived in, no differently than ours, a society focused on selfish pleasure. ready to persecute believers at any provocation, with false teachers looking to tear the churches apart. You see, saints of God, mercy helps believers in their times of need. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? God's the God of all mercy. He had mercy on you and I. Praise God. Look what it says here in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come what? Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. Praise God. That's the key right there. Come boldly. Come boldly. Don't let any obstacles get in your way. Press. The Bible says press. Sometimes we have to press. This flesh does not want to be in the presence of God, but our soul and spirit does. Sometimes we have to just tell this flesh, you're not having your way today. Can I get an amen? And you press toward the prize. Test. Hallelujah. God wants you to just press, press, press. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, also peace refers to the peace that Christ made between us and God through his death on the cross. Only God can give true and lasting peace. It's not about this peace. Remember back in the 60s? I don't know if some of you maybe never lived in that era. But it was like peace, love, Bobby Sherman. Oh, so for some of you, that just went right over your head. But it was the peace and love era. But that wasn't lasting peace. They were all drugged up. There was the Vietnam War and the flower children and all that madness. It changed our culture. And we're still feeling the residual from that. Praise God. Look at this right here. Let's look at the Word of God. Jesus said, peace I leave with you in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as what the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? Afraid. Praise God. You see, saints, the believers needed an abundance of inner peace and quiet confidence as they faced the turmoil in their world. And as they stood up to the false teachers, they didn't have dictionaries. They didn't have computers to do word searches, to look at things in the Greek and to look at things in the Hebrew. All they had was each other and the power of the Holy Spirit living in them, the assurance. That was all that they had. So they needed to stand together because the false teachers, just like they were warned, would come. They were faced with turmoil in their world, and they stood up to those false teachers. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friend, love comes from God, for God himself is love. How many believe that? Believers are grounded in God's love and can resist the lies of the false teachers. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? And they can remain solid in their stand against persecution and temptation. God will generously grant their requests and meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look what it says here in the Word of God in 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, say that with me at home. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Praise God. Praise God. You know, my friends, people that say, hey, I hate that person. Oh, I hate you. I've even heard kids tell their parents that they hate them after they gave them life. They don't know God. Pray for them that they come into that saving knowledge. Pray that God would have mercy like God has had mercy on you and I. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. That's right. The Word of God has been delivered to you and I, saints. Even 2,000 years later, it's ours now. It's ours. You see, saints, although Jude's brief letter does not mention his intended readers, his addresses specific concerns about false teaching that was threatening the churches, still threatens our churches today, no differently. Yet that was not Jude's original intention, as stated in verse 3, planning to write about the salvation we all share. However, saints of God, an urgent concern caused him to write about something else. And that came from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to change trajectory in his writing. Why? Because God already saw the enemies coming. Did you know that God has already seen the enemies coming after us? That's why we need to gird ourselves. We need to put on the full armor of salvation, the helmet of salvation. Praise God. We need the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need our belt shod prepared for the gospel of peace, and also our feet, our loins girded up with truth, so that we will be able to take the gospel throughout our community, that we will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Praise God. And so an urgent concern, it caused him to write about something else, namely, saints of God, about false teaching. In this letter, he wanted to urge the believers to defend the truth of the good news. Praise God, because the Bible is the good news. How many believe that at home? It's the good news. You see, my friends, Jude probably intended that this letter be circulated. Thus, he specified no particular church or area. It was what the Holy Spirit had given them right then and there, and he wrote it down. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, the Greek word translated defend occurs only here in the New Testament. And often it is used in secular literature to describe the intense struggle in an athletic contest. Well, the truth refers to the entire body of beliefs taught by the apostles and held by the Christians. Praise God. Look at this in Acts right here. And they continue what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, meaning teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. They came together as one. This was the ecclesia, the beginning of the church. Remember, 120 in the upper room got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And they were filled, empowered, and the birth of the church began. And they continued steadfastly. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Saints, this truth is unchanging. Once and for all time given to the people of God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Saints, all Christians had been entrusted with the faith. What? To keep it pure and to teach it to others. Praise God. That's what our commission is. Therefore, all Christians should stand ready to defend the faith as they would defend any prized possession. Let me just say this. You would defend your family in a heartbeat. But can you defend the Word of God and the relationship you have with Christ no differently than your own blood family? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, sometimes God wants no obstacles in our life that we would lie solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God for His goodness. And so we're going to look at our last verse of Scripture in verse 4 before we close. Let's go here right now. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you catching this, saints of God? What this letter is all about in these first few verses, it's about the enemy coming in like a flood. You see, saints, Jude's compulsion to write this letter came because of some godless people, false teachers, who had they had somehow just mingled their way among the believers. There were like slippery snakes that just snuck in. Oh, that's right. That's right. And that is, they had entered the church. And these may have been saints of God, traveling teachers who had come and had established themselves in communities and churches with the sole aim of perverting the Christian gospel. Oh, that's right. That's right. And we find many examples throughout the Word of God. Paul talked about the Judaizers that we once read about. Well, a few weeks ago, we were what? We were in Philippians, and it talked about the Judaizers, how they infiltrated the Christian organizations, the group. These false teachers, saints of God, did not belong in the church and were no better than what? Intruders amongst the believers. Oh, that's right. Look what was written. Paul wrote this to the Galatian church. Look at this. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. Bondage. Wow. You see, saints, these false teachers, their teaching was dangerous. Why? Because they were saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. That is false doctrine. God did not save us to sin, but God saved us that we would press, we would learn to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Yes, we know that there's some wonderful do's and don'ts in the Word of God, but it's not about rules and regulations. It's about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you fall in love with the Savior, you'll look at the passages of Scripture that God calls us to refrain from. And we do it out of love. We don't do it because it's a law. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, saints, the true gospel teaches that people are freed from their sin. How? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this happens by God's forgiveness alone. But saints, however, the purpose of this forgiveness is to move people to holy living and service to God. The false teachers, they twisted God's grace, saying that forgiveness from sin means that people can live any way they please, fulfilling their sinful pleasures without inhibition. In their arrogance, these false teachers claim that their privileged status with God's grace put them above moral law. And that is a lie from the pit. Even today, some Christians minimize sin, believing that how they live has little to do with their faith. But what a person truly believes will be revealed by how he or she acts. You see, those who truly have faith will show it by their deep respect and adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ and their sincere desire to live according to the principles of this word. But see, my friends, twisting God's grace to allow for flagrant sexual sin is a horrible perversion of the gospel. And for doing this, the false teachers and their followers would pay dearly. Oh, that's right. In fact, saints of God, their fate was determined long ago. And this refers to previously written condemnation of anyone who's a false teacher or false prophet. God's true prophets had warned against false prophets. Look what it says right here in Isaiah. Look at this. Isaiah wrote this: who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness. Wow. They spoke at it thousands of years ago. Look what Jeremiah wrote. A sword is against the soothsayers, and they will be fools. A sword is against her mighty men, and they will what? Be dismayed. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in the New Testament, look what Jesus pointed this out. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Oh, that's right. Watch out for those prosperity guys. They always talk about love and joy and all that, which is great. We need love and joy. But they never will mention anything about people's sin, that they need to repent, that God has a plan, that God will bless their lives if they come clean with God, so that God could teach them how to live holy and sanctified, and that God would pour out His blessings upon them. Oh, that's right. That's right, saints. Let's look at this next verse of Scripture. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Wow. Wow, look at this. In Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Wow. Wow. Look at this in Galatians. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at this. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Wow. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we and you have received, let him, what? Be accursed. Wow, my friends. Wow. Look what was written to the Philippians. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. We read that in our prior study in the book of Philippians. Look what it says in Colossians. Beware lest anyone cheat you. You see, we saw, let me just pause here for a moment. We saw the Old Testament prophets. We've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the apostles with the same message about beware, beware, beware. You see, and a lot of churches, they won't talk about, they will jump over these scriptures and go into something more la-di-da, you know, la-di-da, da-da-da-da-da. And everything's okay. But it's not everything's okay. These are warnings of the Word of God for our edification, for our learning, to build us strong in the faith so that we would have true discernment, that we would know what is true and what is false, saints of God. Let's go back and look at this scripture again. Beware lest any of you cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to what? The tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and according, and not, look at this, and not according to Christ. Wow, wow. You see, my friends, these false teachers would eventually receive their just reward. Oh, yes. And saints of God, there could be no other false, no other fate except condemnation. For these teachers had turned against the only master, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with their flagrant sexual sinning in the name of God's grace, these false teachers were denying Christ as their master and Lord. And they were replacing Him with themselves and their appetites. While claiming to know God, their actions denied Him. They taught lies, and in so doing, they denied the basics of the Christian faith, my friends. And such a denial also ends in judgment and destruction. So, my friends, I ask these several questions as we close. So how are believers today to discern false teaching? Let's go right up here to the screen. Let's look at this. Number one, does it stress man made rules? Look at this. And taboos rather than God's grace? Are you catching that? Does it stress man-made rules and taboos rather than God's grace? Well, that's right. Because a lot of these heresies can be discovered through asking probing questions. Saints of God, we guard against heresies by asking these questions about any religious group. Praise God. And so that's our first one. Let's look at number two here. Let's look at this. Does it foster a critical spirit toward others, or does it exercise discipline discreetly and lovingly? Listen, we can find fault with one another all day long. We can find discrepancies, failures. We can find just about anything about a person by being around them for a few minutes. That's right. But see, God wants us to have the love of God, that we would look at them as one of God's creations, that they are flawed, and God is doing something wonderful in their life. And we are to allow God to allow that person to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I find it very difficult when brand new believers come in to the fellowship and come into church, and right away someone wants to scale them like you just caught fresh fish. You see, sometimes you scale too deep and you cause them to bleed. And a lot of them will cut and run. Allow them to grow. We're all going to make mistakes. Can I get an amen? We're all still going to soil our pants, even after salvation. But allow us to learn. That's why we need to discern those false teachers, those thus saith the Lord kind of people. Let's move on to the next question. Look at this. Does it share stress, formulas, secret knowledge, or special, look at this, visions more than the Word of God? Be careful. Be careful for those false teachers. Oh, God gave me a vision. Thus saith the Lord. Be very, very careful, saints of God. Oh, that's right. I've seen those shenanigans firsthand. Look at number four. Does it elevate self-righteousness, honoring those who keep the rules rather than elevating Christ in their life? Wow. I'd rather exalt the Lord, hallelujah, than to point out people's failures. Look at number five. Does it neglect Christ's universal church, claiming to be an elite group? I've been to many churches. Some of them would say, if you don't come to our church, you're not saved. Or if you don't get baptized in our church, it wasn't done right. Man, that is so false. It is but the grace of God that He called you and I out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's about the mercy of God that He didn't leave us in our sin. And so we need to be a people of mercy and grace and long-suffering with souls. Can I get an amen? Look at this right up here. Number six, does it teach humiliation of the body as a means to spiritual growth rather than focusing on the growth of the whole person? Wow, that's a whole lot to chew on right there, isn't it? Oh, yes, it does. And look at number seven. Does it disregard the family rather than holding it high regard as the Bible does? As the Bible does, saints. Let me just say this. Jesus is coming really soon. And it's time. It's time now, saints of God, to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. It is time now to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is time now to look at the scriptures and to take heed that Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24 that we would live in perilous times. We're living in perilous times right now. Look where the nation is headed. Gasoline in a month or so is going to be over $10 a gallon. Four steaks at Costco now. Four little steaks cost $50 plus. My friends, no one can even buy homes here in California. The average house now is almost $900,000. Who has that kind of money? Saints, everything is unraveling right now because Jesus said we would live in perilous times. Earthquakes in various places, wars and rumors of wars. We're about ready to enter into another world war. Everyone is up in arms right now over the Ukraine incident. Oh, that's right. And our own administration is picking a fight. A fight and a war that I believe we can't win. Not when Russia and China, Iran, North Korea. That's right. And some of the South American countries like Venezuela, they're nuked up. They got as much as nukes that we have. Saints, we're living in perilous times. And I'm praying that Jesus will soon return and take the Christians out from this world. I believe enough is enough. It's time to see the Lord. How many of you can't wait to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, guess what? The Word of God says He is coming for those who are looking for His return. Not for those who are ignoring and just living day by day, business as usual. Oh, I'll come to church if I can make it Sunday. I got a whole lot to do. We got barbecue and we're going to go have an Easter egg hunt and all that. What does the egg and the rabbit have to do with the crucifixion? It's a religious connotation. Saints, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon and very soon. Are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready to give your heart to God? Those of you may be watching right now for the first time or second time or third time. And maybe God is nudging you right now in your heart to say, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. I will give you rest for your souls. It's time. Why? Because the way it was written in the Word of God 2,000 years is the same way it's going to take place. And the generation, and I believe we're the generation that's going to experience this. Let's look at the Word of God right up here. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18, Paul wrote to them and said this, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring what? With Him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Saints of God, this is a no-joke verses of Scripture. I put these Scriptures on every Wednesday night to remind the body of Christ and to remind those who are visiting that Jesus is soon to come. And the next greatest event will be the rapture of the church, where Jesus comes for His bride. And He takes us home to be with Him while the world goes into the tribulation. Wow. Could the tribulation start this Rosh Hashanah? It's a brand new Shemitah cycle, a brand new 7 years coming September. I don't know. I'm not putting dates, but I do know one thing. History tells us that when a brand new 7 year cycle begins, that first year is chaotic. World War I, World War II, the Nazi Holocaust, the temple was destroyed back in the times of Jesus and the times way back during Nebuchadnezzar. During the kings, during judges during this time, a lot of things have taken place. 2008, we had a whole market crash. It was the beginning of 7 years. And many have said the last 7 years were the blood moons. And some of you go, oh, here he comes with the blood moons. Well, guess what the further understanding is? Is there were 4 blood moons, 2014, 2015, and then there was a solar eclipse right in the middle. The solar eclipse, according to historians, is tribulation for the world, for the Gentiles. And a blood moon is tribulation to Israel. Saints, we're living in this time, and this was a billboard announcing the possibility of the tribulation that would come 7 years later And this September will be the brand new Shemitah cycle. We're in the last tail end, just a few months left, in that last 7 years, and it started with the blood moons and the solar eclipse. Could it be the tribulation is at hand? And if it is, we need to ask God to change us. Get us out of here. I don't want to be around when the tribulation begins. There'll be nuclear bombs set off throughout the world. It'll be chaos. It'll be fear. It'll be famine. It'll be starvation. It'll be killing, murder, looting. Your city's being ravished. My goodness. You think what you saw a couple of days ago on the subway was bad in New York City? It'll be far worse than that. So friends, and Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed." Praise God. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." My friends, if you are watching this live stream on YouTube and Facebook, and maybe you logged in for the very first time, maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. And being born again is a heart that repents before a holy God, asking God to forgive them of their sins, crying out to God for mercy and grace. And then once that connection takes place, then he applies the blood of Jesus Christ on that individual, and the original sin of Adam has been washed away. Once that takes place, then his spirit comes in and abides in you. He will not abide in darkness. He will not abide without the blood that has washed away a person's sin. And once you are filled now with his spirit, the Bible says we've been born again, that we're heaven bound and a hell now to shun. Praise God. Praise God. But if that has not happened to you just yet, don't let this happen to you, what you're about to see. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
My friends, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, here's the good news. Become ready. Cry out to God. Here's a key verse of scripture that'll help you understand that repentance is the prerequisite of salvation. Without a heart repenting before a holy God, no one's going to receive anything from God. Let's look at this verse of scripture right up here, found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. "Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." That's it. That's the key. That's the key, saints of God. And so I want to encourage you right now to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need prayer down below, you can reach out to us. But I want to lead you into a sinner's prayer if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to join me in prayer that we would pray for you, that you would have eternal life like He has given to us. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah and glory in the house. People may have gotten saved right now, and we're excited for you. And if that's you, down below is our website. Reach out to us. Our email, phone number is on there. We love to give you a Bible, lead you to a church that preaches and teaches the unadulterated Word of God. And so, my friends, I'm excited about the book of Jude. Thank you for joining us this evening. And I also want to remind us, this Friday at 6:30, we're not going to be there long. It's a Good Friday service. We're going to have communion, a little worship, and we're going to pray a really short message, and then we can all go home to be with our families. But I'm looking forward to Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. Bring the kids. We got goodies for them. And so we're excited. And I'm also thankful to all those who support Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Amen. Down below, your donations are deeply appreciated. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you this benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name. My friends, we love you. God bless you. Hopefully, you'll come out for this Friday at 6:30. If not, we will see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our new start time is at 10 a.m. God bless you, and we will see you very soon. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.